salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
We lost him, didn't we? He's frozen up. Coach, you're frozen up. Somebody fill in. Pastor Tim, Romans. Ready, go. Unmute yourself.
Good morning, all. Coach is temporarily frozen up. Jump in and keep the canoe headed downstream until he gets it all fixed.
Well, I can tell you about Romans real quick. Let me tell you something. Probably the greatest book out there. We were talking last night. I do a Bible study on Tuesday nights at 6 o'clock Pacific. And last night we were talking about the Apostle Paul, who he was, how he was handpicked by Jesus to be an apostle.
Wow, boys and girls, that was unbelievable. Just as we were, hey, pass the salt, boom, I was gone, man. Something knocked me off like I can't even believe I got knocked off here. So I'm a little bit late here on the start of the show. All excited to be down here today on what is May 18th. Let me get a look here. May 17th. I didn't even get a chance to pray. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your truth, Lord. You said that the words that you say, there's their spirit and their life. Help us to walk in that, Lord. We pray lives will be touched, hearts will be changed today in Jesus' name. Oh, my. It's good to be just me today. I enjoyed Monday with John Robertson. Man, that was a powerful thing. And then yesterday we had Russ on, and that was powerful again yesterday. But I like listening to me talk. Is that okay? I don't like those guys as much as I like me, so I'm glad to be back here. I want to give you a few heads up here before we get really rolling on this weekend, because the numbers are really starting to climb for us here late minutes. We have some people want to walk up, and as I said, if you want to walk up to the event here this weekend in the Newark area, just email us and let us know that you're coming. Say, yeah, hi, Coach, I'm going to walk up, and I'm bringing three guys with me. just so we have some idea from a numbers standpoint. I want to clarify something else that others have been asking about. The Sunday morning event at Mound Builders with LA and Russ is free. Okay? It's free. If you just show up there, it's free. You don't need a ticket or anything like that. In fact, I feel bad about even charging tickets, but we have a lot of expenses to get people in there, hotels, a lot of stuff like that. So it'd be up to me. If I had a big congregation, I would be doing this whole thing free, but I don't have a big congregation. You folks out there are my congregation. I don't like to use the term my. I learned that very young, my coaching. But hear me, I'm gonna give you a little insight into somebody. When you run around people and they're always talking about my, I tell my people and I tell my team and I tell my this, run. Because it ain't mine, okay? It's ours. So when I say, what are you doing here on my show? Somebody punched me in the face because it isn't my show. It's our show. Okay? You get what I'm saying? So I'm sorry that I said my, whatever. Point being, if you're coming this weekend, we hope we are. The crowd's getting big. Bring a lawn chair. It's going to be 85 degrees during our breaks. You can take your chair, go outside, sit down and eat, drink, and be merry and fellowship with everybody else. We're in the most unbelievable facility. Hey, Jared, see if you can pull that picture back up so people are going to have an idea. There, look at that, folks. That's where we're going to be. This is called the G1 Gym. My buddy, Pastor Tom Gill, he's a fitness buff. He's a trainer. He's a bivocational. He runs his gym and he has his church. And we're doing this event inside this AstroTurf facility. Is that something? So a lot of you, when you walk away on Saturday or Sunday, you go say, man, that gym was unbelievable. What a place to work out. So listen, it's not the standard church, right? We're not standard church folks. We keep telling you that all the time. That when Tom has church, but he doesn't do it necessarily in the G1 facility here. This is where we're going to be. And so you can see it's not, real climate control. It's going to be 85. We'll have fans. We'll have windows open. But you want to bring a lawn chair and sit comfortably? That's what we're looking at. What do you think of that, Sarge? That's a pretty good-looking facility there, isn't it, buddy? And it's also, it's not overly stocked with restrooms. We're going to have Jiffy Johns. We're roughing it. Hey, if you ain't tough enough, if you don't have your little powder room, if that's going to keep you from coming, then don't come. This is where we're going to be. Going to be a great event. Bring a lawn chair if you have one. You don't have to. We're going to try to charge you $10 at the door for the meal so we can bring the meals in. I think I said that yesterday. That's not part of the $29. And somebody said, what about kids? Well, yeah, you can bring kids. Yeah, we don't want them disturbing everybody. You want to bring your children, your grandchildren? That's okay. But we would expect we're not going to feed them for free. Okay, so if they're going to stay, then you're going to have to buy them a meal ticket. Sarge, anything I missed there, brother, that you want to? Sarge kind of keeps me in line here, keeps things running. Anything I missed there, Sarge, you want to jump in here on?
Bring swim trunks or suits if you plan on being baptized.
You're the man. We're baptizing you. We're going to baptize you in Buckeye Lake, which is about a quarter mile away, probably at noon on Saturday. After the morning session, we'll probably do the baptism. And, just bring a change of clothes. You want to do that. Okay? So it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Again, if you're going to just drive up, walk up on it, try to let us know that you're coming so we can prepare food-wise and all that kind of stuff. I got a million things I want to, as always, it's been 2 days since I've really been able to get into some of the stuff. Let me just throw this out here because this is not what I want to talk about today, but I think it's important enough that I do. The most demonic, powerfully demonic attack is coming at Donald Trump right now that I think I've ever witnessed at the public figure, okay? And it's coming for a very diabolical plan. The diabolical plan is to try to get Donald Trump out of office. And you know, I go on Facebook and I read the comments that people read on Facebook, and I just continue to be amazed how gullible people are, that they can't see what's going on. And under the radar yesterday, a couple of days ago, was released Seth Rich, the young man who was murdered in Washington about a year ago, Washington, on the streets of Washington, D.C. He got two bullets put into his back. You work for the DNC. This is all over the internet, but the media won't pick it up. If you're getting your information from the mainstream media, you're not going to know this. Seth Rich worked for the DNC, and he was a computer geek type guy. And he began to notice that some of the algorithms and different things that are going on didn't add up. He was a Bernie supporter, and he found out that Hillary and those guys were cheating Bernie. He saw it. And so he got really, really upset about it. Probably was a noble-hearted guy, 22, 23 years old. And so to get even, he's the one that released 44,000 emails to WikiLeaks. It wasn't the Russians. It was Seth Rich. How do we know that? Because Seth Rich's parents hired a special investigator, Private Eye, and he's dug down and he's found out that James Comey or the Washington Police Department have the laptop that has all the information on it. They have it. They've been sitting on it. And so now in the midst of all this, Donald Trump gave the secrets to the Russians, all that stuff's going on. Part of this is a cover for this big story that just broke on the fact that Seth Rich was the one that released all those emails that they've been telling us to the Russians. That's all fake stuff. It's all fake, 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 fake. It's all fake. So we are seeing we're seeing a coup trying to be pulled right in front of us. Right now it's happening. This whole thing with McMaster. It appears that McMaster, if you're not up to date on all this, don't pay attention to me. But if you are up to date on it, then I'm speaking to you and you understand what's going on. McMaster, he's the leaker. He's the guy that's leaking. Trump knows it. And they've been trying to figure out how they can limit down, find out who the leakers are, all these guys that are selling us out. So this whole thing is fake news. They're going to start trying to tell us that Trump's crazy, that he's lost his mind, that he has Alzheimer's. They're going to try to bring people around him. Then they're going to testify, say, oh, yeah, he's nuts. He's nuts. Folks, this is like nothing I've ever seen. Nothing I've ever seen. And so there is two sides, right? Told you this, God's team, the devil's team. You say, yeah, but Trump's on the devil's team. Well, I'm not so sure. I'm just not so sure. I think things are so clouded in the information matrix that we're all caught in. I don't think we know. Anybody want to jump in? I don't want to talk any more about that. We'll talk about that maybe a little bit more tomorrow. Anybody in the queue have anything to piggyback on that about? It's about the free flow of information. The fact we're not getting truth, and who can you trust? And I'm telling you, I don't know if I trust Alex Jones. I don't know if I trust Roger Stone, but I can tell you this. I'm smart enough to see something diabolical is going on. Something really, really something going on. Something bad's going on. So buckle up, boys and girls. Buckle up. Okay, we're going to shift gears because I've been waiting for 2 days to tell you, that's not the right phrase, to share with you, to have you join with me in this discussion of what went on when we were down in Louisville, Kentucky this weekend. And the fact that 11 people were arrested down there. A timeout. Now, I'm going to tell you this. You can listen to me or you cannot. Abortion is feeding, the blood of innocent children is feeding this whole demonic rampage that we see going on. We've never seen a nation quite like this nation that is killing off its children. We've never seen anything like it. Ever seen anything like it. There's been 60 million unborn babies. 60 million of them. The blood of innocence cries out. Think about that, the blood of Cain slew, I always get these two guys mixed up. One slew the other. Cain slew Abel. And the Bible said that his blood cried out from the ground for vengeance. Vengeance. Blood has a voice. And rather than just being some guy who's running around saying, listen, we got to stop abortion because it's wrong, I am saying that. But church, we have got to stop abortion because abortion is what is feeding the demonic realm. It's feeding the demonic realm, okay? Everything it's feeding, pedophilia and homosexuality and all the evil that's going on is all, it is blood is currency in the spiritual realm. And unless we begin to take seriously, the church now takes seriously the shedding of innocent blood, the killing of unborn children, things are not going to get better for us, folks. They're not going to get better for us. And unfortunately, for whatever reason, people in the church, pastors in general, it's just become blasé. It's just kind of, oh, well, it's like smoking cigarettes. Oh, yeah, an abortion, oh, that's too bad. It's become so blasé. And it's like cigarettes kill you. Blood's killing us. Innocent blood's killing us. So I don't... Okay, I got all kinds of crazy things going on my computer. Give me a thumb out there if somebody's hearing me. You hearing me, George?
Yeah, but can we see you, Coach? Is your camera off?
Yeah, my camera's on. I don't know what's going on here. Somebody's messing.
Coach?
You can see me?
No, I see a still.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here, and I don't want to unload and come back in because I see me. It's a little bit delayed, and then I don't see you guys. So I'm yelling that out for you there, Jared. I don't know what I should do, whether I should get out and come back in or what. But I can only see four people that are in the queue, and I know there are more that are in there.
Yeah, we're here. Coach, we can hear you. Just hit F5 real quick and try and do a rejoin real fast.
Okay, F5.
And there he goes.
Well, while Coach is popping back in, you know, Herod.
There I did it. Hey, did it work?
Almost every Christian in the United States, I'm sure, would agree that Herod was a really, really evil person, because when he found out about the birth of Jesus, he ordered the death of every male child 3 years and younger. And that was horrible. Mm-hmm. And people think it was horrible. But guess what? He had a reason to do it, at least.
That's right. He did.
Now
Larry.
We
he
have
did
a society which murders millions of boys and girls year after year after year after year after year. And we have, quote, Christians sitting on the sidelines giving excuses for it because somebody's passed some stupid laws and the Supreme Court made a stupid judgment. And these Christians take that as cover to allow the murder of God's potential children.
Larry, I saw on my own Facebook page yesterday, actually this weekend. It was amazing. A pastor friend of mine was going on and on and on Facebook page about how we are not to break the law. Christians are to obey the law. on and on and on. How can any Christian think that it's okay to go out and obey the break the law? That that's not how Christians are supposed to behave. And see, listen, folks. We're given a choice between obeying God or obeying man. We are to obey man as long as man lines up with God. When man's laws tell you to do something that violates the laws of God, we are required to obey God and not man. You understand that? Read one. By the way, you can read more than just Romans 13. Read the daggone New Testament. Read the book of Acts, and you're going to find Paul, who wrote the book of Romans, spends most of his time in jail defying the government, defying the ungodly edicts of man. Paul spends all of his time in jail, writing letters from jail. So for a guy who says we have to obey the authorities, why didn't he take his own advice? Why didn't he do that? And you go through the book of Acts, and it's one continuous rebellion after another. And I said the other day, Christianity was birthed in rebellion, and this is going to make you really, really nervous. Jesus rebelled against the ungodly religious system. Jesus led a rebellion, folks. Obey God, not man. Stay with me. So what are you talking about, Coach? Jesus said, quit following these man-made rules and regulations, and you can eat this and you can't eat that. Stop doing that, expecting that to get you into heaven. Obey God. And if the rules of man contradict the rules of God, the answer is simple. Obey God and not man. So when the Supreme Court of the United States violates the law of God, which says thou shall not murder, we have a moral obligation to defy the government. Well, do you guys agree with that? Is there anybody on the queue that agrees with me on that? We have a moral obligation. Listen, if the Supreme Court of the United States tomorrow passes a law saying that you have to kill your parents at age 80 because they're just costing too much to keep around, if they pass a law saying kill granny and grampy, are you going to follow the law, church? Is the church going to follow that law? I hope they don't, but who knows, right? So if the government comes along and says, hey, you have to marry men and men, does the church have to marry men and men? Of course not. But the church thinks all of the power comes from government. What is wrong with us? We are, according to our national motto, we are one nation under God. Under God. That means what? God's above government. One nation under God. And so the idea that civil disobedience is somehow against the law is crazy. Folks, what did Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. do? Now, he ain't my number one hero, but what did he do? It was the church. That was a church-led rebellion. They called it the civil rights movement, nonviolent rebellion. And we named the daggone day after him here in America. Why? Because he defied an unrighteous law, an unrighteous edict. He defied it. But we find a day and age that we're living in today, we find the church kowtowing to ungodly edicts from the government. And we follow those ungodly edicts and say we're being godly. What is wrong with us? What is wrong with us? Now, here's the truth. Most of us don't want to pay the price, and I'm going to get into that right here in a second. Michael, are you leaning forward because you want to say something? I read your body language pretty good. Go ahead, Mike.
What I want to say is this. The church does not teach us that we have a spiritual power within us called the Holy Spirit that allows us to use our voice. And if we do it together, we've got more power than they do. And remember, if it's a demonic force, that's evil. And God isn't our God bigger than the evil we face? If he isn't, then you've got a very small God, and you got him in a box that he doesn't belong in.
So God said that to know to do good and not to do it, to him it is sin. All right? So we have to ask ourselves this, church. Is the boy, for him who knows to do good, is abortion good? It's a very simple question. Is abortion good? I say, no, it's not, church. Abortion's not good. So then how do you end? How do you do something good in regards to abortion? Ah, you end it. That would be doing good. That would be rescuing the woman and orphan in their time of need. That would be rescuing those who are unduly led to slaughter. That is a good thing. And isn't it amazing? You think about the Good Samaritan, the two religious guys. It was the religious guys that didn't want to get dirty. They didn't want to get down and dirty. And aren't they glad some ungodly came by? Some ungodly Samaritan came along by, and he's the one that did the right thing, right? He's the one that did the right thing. And how can we see our unborn neighbors being slaughtered and not do the right thing? Well, because we have dehumanized them, okay? We've dehumanized them. So we're down. Go ahead, Rich.
Hey, Dave, can I, you know, this isn't a joke. I don't have one Christian friend. I have brothers and sisters in Christ. We're relatives. We are born of the same family.
Right.
And we got to be careful who we call our friends. I mean, that's why I got off Facebook. You can't, this friend stuff. So you have to really, we have to ask ourselves, are these pastors our friends?
Yeah.
And to me, absolutely not. Because I question whether they're even a brother or sister in Christ. If they handle this stuff.
You know, Rich, it's amazing because in this, let me give you a good example here, folks. In this event we're having with Russ in L.A., you guys know what they talk about, right? Huh? How many pastors do you think going to let this come into their church? Come on now, wake up. How many going to let this thing come within miles of their church? They ain't going to let it, right? Pastor Tom is. He's letting it come in. And you know what else? He got a hold of another local pastor, and the other local pastor said, hey, if you need to, you can use our church. Another pastor. Now, I know this other pastor, but I had no idea. He said, Coach, it's time people started hearing this kind of stuff. We need to start hearing this stuff. And then I heard from another pastor, we don't have enough chairs. So I'm going to go out and rent some chairs because there's not enough chairs at Pastor Tom's at the G1 where we're going to go. And so I call, and luckily they're out of chairs. A place where you rent chairs is out of chairs. And Pastor Tom calls another Christian buddy, another Christian pastor. You know what he says? Well, you can use our chairs. You can use our chairs. Now, somebody tell me something. Is that the way the body's supposed to work or not? Should I have to rent a chair from a church? Call it, hey, church, can we use your chairs? Yeah, 50 cents a chair. Sure, you can use them. What are you talking about? See, it's this idea that we're not all on the same page. So I salute Pastor Tom. Maybe he's not with us 100%. Maybe he's not where we are. But he said, this is valid and this is important. And yes, you can use our facility. So I salute him for that. And Pastor Kevin, the same thing. He said, hey, you can use our church. I'm not going to be around. You can use. So I listen, guys. We the uncomfortable stuff. Hear me. The uncomfortable stuff is everything. I can have a church with fluff, foo-foo. I can build a church like that full of sound and fury signifying nothing. Anybody can build one of those daggone things. When my buddy Pastor Tom Gill says, hey, yeah, I know it's controversial. I know it is. But Coach, I think this stuff needs to be taught. And I want it to be good. I want you to be put on an event that people can be proud of. Yes, you can use it. Yeah. Even up to the other day, he was even looking for a better venue, something nicer. Even though he didn't agree or maybe doesn't understand it all, says, yes, bring it. Cause why? Cause I know you, Coach. I know you. You're my friend. Sure, you can use it. Hey, Pastor Tim, there ain't many like that, are there, brother? Huh? How many, Pastor Tim?
You got me going. I'm like a rocket ship tied down on its launching pad. Let me tell you something. There's nothing different in our day and age of Christians who are fighting the main church, because the Pharisees are still here in the main church.
They are, brother. They are.
So it's nothing new. And if we think it's new to us, then we're being deceived, man. Let me tell you, you got to fight the whole time against the whole church religious system.
Amen, buddy. It's awful. So I salute Pastor Tom. And Rich, I agree with you, Rich. I agree with you that I come around a lot of Christians and aren't Christians. But okay, so I'm running out of time. I'm going to show you some Christians, okay? Is it okay if I show you some Christians here this morning? Boy, oh boy, just follow it on Facebook. Oh, those pew sitters, They don't like these Christians. No, these Christians, they convict them, man. They make them feel bad about their callousness. Oh, no, those are the radical ones, right? Well, let me show you some information here. I want to share with you. What Rusty Thomas, I'm going to get Rusty on the show. Rusty Thomas did an old-fashioned, what they called a rescue. 11 people blocked the door at the abortion clinic on Saturday. 11 people went up and blocked the door. They were arrested. I'm going to show you some fruit. You listen to me, you Pharisees, you Sadducees, you religious folks. I'm going to show you some fruit that you don't know anything about. Jared, let's pull this up. The first thing, I want you guys to see this. Jared, pull up that 19. It says 1988 LA Times. Can I show you how pathetic we are, church? Huh? I dug this up this morning. Look at this. Put that up there. This is from 1988. The LA Times. 1988. How long ago is that? It's 12 years to, that's about 30 years, isn't it? About 30 years ago. Abortion was illegal. Abortion got legalized in January 22nd, 1973. So this is 16 years after abortion was ruled, whatever, by the Supreme Court, wasn't legalized. Look at this. Look at that date, October 30th, 1988. More than 1,000 demonstrators were arrested Saturday in at least 27 cities across the nation as anti-abortion activists tried to blockade abortion clinics and prevent employees and patients from entering. 1,000 people, 27 cities. See, today we do protest Planned Parenthood. We go out there and stand out there and hold our signs. 30 years ago, they were blockading. They were blockading thousands of them. Thousands. I could go down and I could read down through this, tell you all the different cities this is happening and everything. This is, hey guys, 30 years later, they're still killing babies. 30 years later, they are still killing babies. Okay? 30 years later. We've tried the politics. We've tried the prayer. We tried everything, and they're still killing babies. Hey, Rich, did the homosexual agenda, just curious, did that advance by prayer? Were the homos in their prayer closets and just praying that all of a sudden the laws would change, or were they actively doing something about it? I think we know the answer to that, don't we? They were actively doing something. 1988, thousands. Now, hey, I'm going to make you uncomfortable here. That's okay. That's why you came here. I want you to see this. My buddy Mark Harrington. Hey, pulled up that next one. Says created equal, Jared. Just pause that right there. Go to the beginning. I don't know why it keeps popping up, but go to the very beginning, Jared. First of all, Jared, I'm gonna do a tip of the hat to my buddy Mark Harrington. Why you freeze that, Jared? Go to the created equal homepage on Facebook if you can. Just says created equal. Sorry, folks, it's just popped in. I want you to see. I want to give honor where honor is due. My good friend, Mark Harrington, who runs the organization Created Equal. Click on that. I want you to look at this picture on his homepage. Can you all see that? Can you make that bigger, Jared? Mark Harrington and Created Equal. Look at those young faces that Mark is training to get engaged. And rescuing the preborn. Is that unbelievable? Mark's the one standing there as you look at it on the right. That's Mark and his wife. And these are kids who take part in what they call justice rides. And he takes them around America and he trains them on how to minister to use the term pro-life. The pro-life messages. They go to campus. They go to abortion clinics. They got this great big jumbotron. They're actively involved. Mark's one of the most, committed, cooperative. That's the word I'm looking forward. Anytime I call Mark, say, hey, Mark, I need some help. He says, how can I help? And that's rare. Just like it's rare in the churches, it's rare in a pro-life movement because everybody's fighting over dollars. Everybody's fighting over dollars and fighting over turf, which is why we're not winning this battle, okay? So Mark Harrington put together this clip. And this clip, I'm going to play about 7 minutes of it if we can. This is a clip of some footage that Mark put together from 1988. Remember I just put the article up there about what was going on, the LA Times, 1988, 1,000 people being arrested. Mark has posted this. It's about, I don't know, it's almost 30 minutes long. We're not going to watch all of it, but I want you to watch that this is a long history of more aggressive activism than we're seeing today. Go ahead and play that real quickly, Jared. It's old clips, okay?
They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters. And the land was polluted with the blood.
We are not going down there as the heroes. We are going down there in a spirit of repentance. We are guilty. The
That's
blood
Randall
is on
Terry.
Our hands. We're 15 years late. There's no heroes here.
1988.
Do you hear me? So we are going down. Lord Jesus, be merciful to me. Lord, forgive our country. We are more guilty than the police when they take us away, because the police are not called to be the salt of the earth. We are.
Thousands and thousands came out all across America. Operation Rescue, it was called. They were taking their faith to the streets, to the clinics, blocking the clinics. 30 years ago. Just everyday moms and pops blocking the doors, blocking the sidewalks, being arrested. Priest. We got a little baby.
Since the Roe v. Wade decision legalized child killing in 1973,
no, it didn't.
Over 25 million children have been brutally murdered. Christians are finally facing the reality that they share
30 years
the
ago,
of
folks.
This Holocaust.
This is 30 years ago.
To repent of their apathy and rescue the children.
I'll be honest with you. Every time I feel like, Lord, I can't stand another ounce of conviction, God gives me another pound, and that's what I really need. And every time I'm near an abortuary, the breaking of God goes on in my life, because I realize how much my heart still yet needs to be rent. May God rent our hearts.
Operation Rescue is people who have responded to a move of God, who are saying, I'm responsible to love my neighbor. I'm responsible to rescue the innocent. And it is producing revival in people's hearts. People who get involved in the rescue movement become transformed because it takes their eyes off themselves. It puts their eyes on Christ and on other people's
30
needs.
Years ago.
As people have finally realized that unless we defend our brothers and sisters in a very definite way, we are really denying God. We're not living up to our faith. We're not doing what he calls us to do and to be.
God is saying to his people, the church, those who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is saying one word, repent.
Some would say, repent of what? Blood guiltiness.
Is that what I'm saying?
Teaches that for God's people to be absolved of blood guiltiness, they had to be able to pray two things. O Lord, our hands have not shed this blood, neither did our eyes see it. Forgive thy people, and set not the guilt of innocent blood in our midst. The church in America today cannot pray this, because our
30 years ago
have seen it. Amidst a flurry of religious activity, the church, for the most part, has stood idly by while over 4,000 babies a day are being slaughtered. The prophet Isaiah spoke of a people who excelled in religious duty but missed the heart of God and refused to protect the innocent. He said of them, "When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood.
One of the things that has convinced me that this is a move of God is that we have always addressed ourselves, addressed our own need for repentance, our own need to beg God for mercy.
Besides the blood guilt incurred by the church, our entire nation is stained with the blood of these children and is increasingly Amen. Staggering under the weight of God's judgment.
The 25 million children that are dead are enough to damn any nation to hell and to ultimate judgment, period.
Now it's 60 million.
You should get out your concordance and study out the theme of innocent blood. But suffice it to say that the blood that has been shed and now stains the garbage dumps of America, now stains the once land of the free and home of the brave, that blood is crying from the ground to the God of heaven and earth, saying, "How long, O Lord? How long?"
The scriptures teach very clearly that if innocent blood is shed and unavenged, the entire nation may perish. For example, Judah was destroyed by invading armies because they were sacrificing their children. The Bible says, "So he sent them against Judah to destroy it, because of the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he had done, and also for the innocent blood which he shed. For he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, and the Lord would not forgive."
Okay, we can stop there, Jared. "And the Lord would not forgive." That, folks, this video is 30 years old. Do you understand? We've been playing church like this for 30 stinking years. We've been trying to do waiting periods. We've been trying to do pain-capable bills and heartbeat bills. And it's none of that matters to the Lord, because they're all created in His image and rich. We can no longer say we don't see, because we see. We see. And we ignore. Okay? So with that as a backdrop, I want to show you. We'll show you a couple of powerful things. Let's go to my Facebook page, Jared. 11 people did what they call a rescue. Listen, an old-fashioned rescue, the way that they did it when we were watching there in 1988, is the people locked arms and they refused to move. And the police had to come along and had to literally separate them. Some guys would chain themselves to doors. They'd change themselves to cars. They would do any type of thing. Saturday, when we were down there, well, I'm going to do the first one first, Jared. I want to chat about it. Hang on, though. I'm not ready for it yet. Saturday down there, the people, it was a statement. It was a statement calling the church back to repentance. "Come back to repentance, church. Greater love has no man than this," and he would lay down his life for his friends. And risking not only arrest, but possibly extended prison time, really. It's a face, could be classified as a face violation. 11 people went up, sat down in front of the doors, and were arrested for it. And then, of course, on Facebook and every place else, they would be smirched by all these Christians, both sides, attacking them for whatever. Shouldn't be arrested, or it's futile, you're just doing it for attention. All kinds of stuff. I'm going to show you some fruit that the average person doesn't understand, okay? I'm going to show you. First thing I want to show you is a video of my friend, Reverend Rusty Thomas, Pastor Rusty, being arrested. I got to stop. This is recorded by, see, godly families make a difference. This video you're about to see was put together by Dr. Patrick and Elizabeth Johnson's daughter, Charity. The activist mommy, her daughter, Charity, was a filmer of this. And her other daughter, Anna, was down there also, both of them actively involved. Charity took this video and put this video together. I believe that's how it worked. And what you're going to see here is Rusty, the dad with the cowboy hat on, being arrested. By the way, Rusty has 13 children. Let that sink in. He has 13 children. You can see the video here of Rusty being arrested. And as he's being arrested, looking and speaking to his children who are watching their father being arrested. And I can't believe the number of people who criticize Rusty for having laid down his life like this. Do you know this? One of the ladies being arrested, a lady named Eva Edel, who's 82 years old, Holocaust survivor. I read one of the posts that she had left money, made all kinds of arrangements with her family. 82 years old when she left because she didn't know if she would be back. She'd been arrested, I think Eva told me, like 80 times. She's a Holocaust survivor, been arrested 80 times. She sits down in front of this door again. But here's what I want you to see. This is called Leaving a Legacy, a Father's Last Words. This is only 2 minutes. And I want you to watch. Just watch this. See if this impacts Rusty's children. Go ahead, Rusty. Eleven pro-life activists were arrested for blocking an abortion clinic entrance to rescue babies scheduled for slaughter. I'm reading this for those who don't have the video. Among them is Rusty Thomas, director of Operation Save America. That's 13 children. There's Rusty. That's his daughter.
How's your heart, son?
Good. Rusty calls out to his son who's seeing him be arrested. This is your heritage, children. That's his son. His daughter. I just pray some of that would get in my own children. I pray that all across America, the parents would begin to realize that their actions speak louder than words. And Rusty has laid out a clear example of how Christian men ought to live in front of his children. Now, his children have the opportunity, they can decide whether to follow it or not follow it. They can decide whether to be ashamed of him or not be ashamed of him. They can go on Facebook and read all the bad things that people are saying about him because he made Jesus look bad and he violated the law. And they saw their father being led away in handcuffs. And he's left a legacy. All right, left a legacy. And I would ask you right now, you moderate Christians that are watching, what kind of legacy are you leaving? If your children, your children are the same type of Christian as you are, is that a good thing? If your children are as lukewarm as you are, is that a good thing? I won't show you the video here because I'd have to go all through my Facebook. Brother Cal Zastro had a son and a daughter arrested. You heard that right. Mom and dad stood there as he watched their adult children, young adult children, make a decision to lay down their lives for the unborn children. Mom and dad stood there and watched their son and their daughter be handcuffed and taken to jail. You know why? Because Cal's kids are going to be like him. And I promise you this, Rusty's kids are going to be like him. All 13 of them. Because they see it in action. But here's what I want people to see, what they don't see. Let's go to the next video. Slide it on down there, Jared.
Joe Frazier.
No, that's not. No. Yeah, start that at the beginning, though. I think it starts at the beginning, Jared. Take it all the way back to the beginning. I want to show you a video. This, folks, this is what people don't get. These are gospel opportunities, okay? These aren't protests. These are gospel opportunities. Now, I want you to watch. This man's name is Frank Campana. Frank drove with his children. I believe he has eight. I could be wrong. From Cape Canaveral, Florida, to be there just for Saturday morning. And after all the arrests are gone and the police are there, Frank starts preaching to the police. If you could have been there and you could have seen the impact, it's like, was it Mike Andrews said yesterday? Those guys had on bulletproof vests, but they could not stop the arrows that was shooting out of Frank's mouth. This is about a 7-minute clip. But I want you to feel and see the power after these folks were arrested and taken away. I want you to watch the power, the silence of the people at the abortion clinic and the police officers. It's about 7 minutes, but I think it's worth watching. I wouldn't play it otherwise. Go ahead and play that one, Jared. This is Frank Campana.
What I was explaining to these gentlemen is that this is a gospel issue. And we could see that this is a crime scene. They have every detail of what's going on. We got a victim, right? We got an intention to murder, right? And we got what? We got the murderer, who's the abortion doctor. And these men have been indoctrinated, even though they've been taught what a crime scene looks like, even though forensic medicine clearly shows that there's DNA and intention in a murder, they will stand here idle because of the laws of the land. And let me express to you, there's a higher law. It's called God's law. And God established this law for us to live by. It's rules and regulations to live life successfully. There are boundaries to life. They'll never save us, but they'll lead us to the cross. And that's why we're out here. It's a gospel issue. We're preaching the truth to you because, listen, our nation needs the truth. Our nation has killed 60 million children in the name of prosperity. We need Jesus. That's what we need. Amen. Every hour. And I don't know what happened to these men where they can't see their indoctrination of their mind, but they stand idle as baby boys and girls are killed. Guess what? They arrest the innocent and they let the guilty free. That's a sign of insanity as a nation. To arrest the innocent and allow the guilty to go and do their ravenous murder. This is murder. Murder. What do you see here today? Even a child could come here and see a murder scene. Lord, have mercy as a nation that we've become so idle and so apathetic to what our nation
30 has years later. 30 years. Girls.
God, have mercy on us.
Amen. Man. Hey, Mike, tell us what you saw here today. But this Mike come all the way from, driven all the way down here today from Savannah, Georgia. Ever seen anything like this, Michael?
Never in my life. Never in my life. It was worth every mile, every second. To see the body of Christ come together. See the true Church of Jesus Christ come to the gates of hell, that they will not prevail. And we're just going to put a stop to this horrible crime. We're going to come together, you know, the body of Christ coming together, as he said it would. And there truly is a remnant out here today, Coach. A remnant.
Hear the praise and worship going on in the background.
Tell them about the gates of hell, brother.
My buddy Jim.
The Lord spoke to you today while you were here.
My understanding, from what I read, when Jesus took the disciples to the base of Mount Hermon at Caesarea Philippi, and he said, upon this rock I will build my church. And he's pointing to the place where they're at. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. That means that we are to be offensive. We are to take the fight to the gates of hell. We are to storm the gates of hell. That's what the church is. That's what we're supposed to do. And what happened here today is the church, the true remnant church of Jesus Christ, stormed the gates of hell. Amen. That's what happened here.
Amen. Amen, folks. Listen, I'm reminded, let me turn this around. I just want to share this with you. Maybe shut it down a little bit for the day. I always remember back in when Joe Frazier fought Muhammad Ali. You guys remember that, don't you? Here we are. We're in the city of Muhammad Ali, by the way. Joe Frazier fought Muhammad Ali in Madison Square Garden. And Joe Frazier won. We found out after the fight that Muhammad Ali broke his jaw. He had his jaw broken in the first round. You remember that, folks?
Yes.
He fought 14 rounds with a broken jaw. And the amazing thing is that what people have to understand here in Christianity, see, we got McDonald's Christianity. We want to do something, and then we get our hamburger right away. We don't want them to say to us, park it, pull over here. We don't like it. We want it instantaneous. I want you to hear me. We delivered a deadening blow today. It's only the first round. It doesn't look like anything. We don't notice it. But that jaw was broken today. The jaw was broken. Now, this place is still open. It's still standing. But we're going to keep jabbing away. We're going to keep jabbing away. The 14th round, the 15th round, at some point, man, is that left cross is going to come to the jaw. He's going to fall on his ass. Pardon me. Pardon my language.
That's right.
Right? So come on, church. We've wounded the beast, okay? We've wounded him. Come on. Ollie, Ollie, oxen free. Everybody come on out and play. Come on out. It's okay. It's safe out here. Huh? We need the Church of Jesus Christ to stand up. Donald Trump ain't going to make America great again. The folks that were here today, they're the ones that are going to make America great again. They're going to lift up the name of Jesus, because it says at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And here's the truth, see? The Lord already popped him, huh? He already popped him in the jaw. The Lord already did. All we got to do is come in and throw that left hook. Bring him down, huh?
Amen.
God bless you all. God bless. Come on, church. Come on, church. Time to stand up and fight.
Oh, man. You know what struck me? I'm going to open it up here in just a second. You know what struck me? Sarge, you know what struck me? Tim, Michael, Larry. 30 years. We saw the genesis of this in 1988. 30 years. It's like we're right back where we started. And so the prophetic thing that Rusty and those folks did was they went back and they revisited their history. They revisited the history. Folks, the homosexuals, they don't think anything about blocking a door, storm. They don't think anything about coming out in the streets, shutting down traffic. They don't think anything at all about that. The police tell everybody to stand down. Stand down. But 10 Christians show up outside. I'm not making this up. There had to be 30 cop cars there. The entire city block was shut down. There had to be 50 cops to arrest 10, 11 peaceful Christians. 4 women. Murders going on in the building behind them. Streets being blocked in Ferguson, Missouri. People burning things down and nobody arrested. Nobody. And in Louisville, Kentucky, 11 peaceful, Christ-loving, children-loving Christians sit down, and all the force of the government comes down on Paul. You see what's going on? You see what's going on? Somebody jump in here. They hate Jesus, man. They hate Jesus.
Yeah. One of the most prominent aspects of Christianity, of the church, true church life in the Bible, is exposed as being unity, unified, of one mind and one accord. Now, there was 11 people in unity, strong enough to do something about it there. If everybody there, as one was arrested, if another had stepped up on those steps and taken their place, and then another and another, if everybody that was there had done that, would the Louisville jails have been overwhelmed? If not,
sure they would have, Larry.
It would have.
See, here's
that,
here's
that's here, what should.
Here's
happened.
What I want.
And you may think
that's
I'm
what, here's what I want.
But I'd be in jail if I'd been there.
Well, here's what I want people to understand. This wasn't done as a protest. This was done as those who did this as an offering to God that others might be inspired. Listen, folks, the other side is playing lawlessly. There is no law. We're playing by a set of rules that aren't even rules that we made. We have rules we're supposed to follow. We know what they are. They're in this Bible right in front of me. We know the rules, yet we're following the devil's rules. And the devil's kids are getting away with everything. What's our rules? Lay down your life that others might live. Lay down your life. Come out from among them. Be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. Rescue the women and the children in their time of need. Rescue those who are unjustly led to slaughter. It's all throughout the Bible. It's everywhere. Open up the book of Acts, not the book of thinks, not the book of praise, the book of Acts. They did stuff.
You know, Coach, this reminds me of a video series years ago by Francis Schaeffer, How We Should Live.
Right.
If you've ever seen that or read that book, but
yep.
I remember way back when I watched that, it changed my life.
Tim, how can we be so passive 30 years later from these guys? In 1988, Keith Toosey, I know Keith Toosey. I know Randall Terry. I know those guys in the video 30 years ago, and we're still no farther along, still praying for legislation and body parts. Oh, defund Planned Parenthood. The same Christ that raised from the dead is inside us, and we're begging for crumbs. 30 years later, 30 years of crumbs. Come on, somebody else jump in there so they don't think I'm the only idiot. I frankly don't care.
We do not have the courage to use our voice. We have a voice. We can do this, but nobody encourages us. We just sit and sit and sit. You got to stand up and do something, even if it's so small. Look what they did. They just sat in front of the building. But look what it did. It makes people conscious.
It's a living sacrifice, right? It's a living sacrifice. People love themselves too much. They love themselves too much. We don't love our neighbor enough, see? We love ourselves too much and our neighbor not enough.
If you're a follower of Jesus, listen to his words. He said, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. He didn't say follow the pastor. He said follow me. Now, if the pastor is an imitator of Jesus, follow him. But if he isn't, you're looking at the wrong person to imitate.
Jared, pull up Revelation 21. Anybody else want to jump in here? Jim Kraft, who was there, we saw Jim on. Jim just texted me. Says this. Amen, Jim. The church in America is full of religious cowards, and God hates a coward. The church's hands are covered with the blood of murdered babies, over 60 million of them. Only a national repentance within the church will answer this blood guiltiness. Coach, as a nation, we are not worthy of the blood of Jesus. No, we're not worthy. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, isn't it? Died for the ungodly. I'm in Revelation 21. Let's stay right there, Jared. Let's just start in verse 1, about done here. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth has passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. There we are again, the bride of Christ. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and we will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Stay with me. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is a thirst of the fountain of water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving. Notice that. The abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, the liars, they shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But the fearful and unbelieving, boys and girls, I'm telling you, cowards go first. God hates cowardice as much as he hates sexual sin. He hates, he abhors cowardice. Go ye into all the world, he said. Go everywhere, go, and I'll be with you always, even till the end of the age. Everybody's going to heaven, but not everybody's going to get in. Cowards. Go first. First one's rejected. Cowards and unbelieving. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.